Reading John, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 41 through 43. The City of Refuge is our topic tonight. In fact, that's the title of the message, The City of Refuge. Verse 41, Then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, namely Bazer in the wilderness, in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. You may be seated. We want to read several more scriptures that has to do with the City of Refuge. Let's go ahead and do our reading. Go with me to the 19th chapter of Deuteronomy. Save your places there now in Deuteronomy 4, because we're coming back. But go to the 19th chapter, because Moses instructed them, or God instructed through Moses, to establish six cities of refuge. We just read of the establishment of the three on the wilderness side. And now when they have crossed over, and we've jumped ahead a bit, but when they've crossed over, Moses instructs to establish three more cities of refuge in Numbers, Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19, 2 through 6. Thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Now remember, this is on the other side of the Jordan. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that ever slayer may flee thither. And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whosoever killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hath hated not in times past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down a tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee unto one of the cities and live, lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot, and overtake him, because the way is long and slain, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in times past. Now, back up to the book of Numbers with me. Moses gave this law concerning these cities of refuge to the people that died in the wilderness. And here is the total law regarding the cities of refuge. I'll probably not read it all, but we'll begin at Numbers chapter 35. Remember, they're still wandering in the wilderness here. Numbers 35, verses 9 through 25, you can find the whole law. It says verse 9 of Numbers 35, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, that you shall appoint you cities to be cities for refuge, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unaware. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which you shall give, six cities shall you have for refuge. And you shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall you give into the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. And then he goes on to speak about how one might be killed through an accident, and if that one that accidentally slay the man would run to the city of refuge, he would live. But that one that premeditated murdered somebody must pay the penalty of death. And now in the verse 25 will be my last verse to read. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. A lot of scriptures, but they all point to one direction. They all point to our city of refuge, which is Jesus Christ. Remember the reason for the giving of the law again. The old ones had died out. The new set of laws is being given to the ones that would pass over into Canaan. So Moses gives them the law concerning the cities of refuge. Let me say this. I don't believe that there's a one here tonight by accident. In fact, I've walked with the Lord long enough to believe there's no such thing as accident when it comes to the Lord's work, but providence. So I believe you may be here tonight, or you are here tonight, to hear a message. And if you don't know where you stand with God, you need to listen to the message. Because you see, if someone was to kill someone back in that day, accidentally, at work, someone hit someone with a hammer or an axe, the illustration is given here, an axe flying off the handle, and you're the one slinging the axe, that person's next of kin, the avenger, could kill you. So when you slay someone, you must run immediately to the city of refuge, that judgment would not fall upon you, that the avenger would not be able to avenge the blood of the lost one. Look at your outline. The cities of refuge. Number one, there were to be three of them on the wilderness side of Jordan. We read that in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. In the 19th chapter, there's to be three more on the other side of Jordan. And then in Numbers 35, we gave the law regarding the city. You have the law. If one accidentally slays someone, they were encouraged to run, to flee to the city of refuge, and they could abide in that city of refuge unto the death of the high priest. If the murder was premeditated, then they must be handed over and they must be given an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that if they commit a murder, then they must pay the ultimate price. But an accidental slayer could run and be spared. What does that have to do with Jesus Christ? What does that have to do with us? Well, first of all, this is a type of Christ. I can see the gospel, the good news, all over this. The first thing I want to tell you, and let me give you about five different points here tonight, is it was for accidental offenders. Accidental offenders. There are a group of beings that there is no redemption for. If you want to read about those people, those beings, turn to the second chapter sometime of the book of Hebrews, and about the 14th verse, you will find this reference, that he became not an angel. He was born not of an angel, but of the seed of Abraham. Who's that speaking of? That's speaking of Jesus Christ. What does that mean, he was not born of an angel? He wasn't an angel. Well, the meaning of that is he didn't take the form of an angel to come here and die for an angel. But he did take the seed of Abraham on to die for Adam's fallen race. Well, what's the big deal about that? Those angels transgressed willfully. There was a rebellion in heaven. You understand that. And angels fell. Part of them aligned themselves with Satan. Part of them aligned themselves with Almighty God. Good versus evil. Now hear me close. There is no redemption for them. They sinned willfully. If one was to slay a man willfully, he is guilty of murder. And the city of refuge was not for him. He could flee to that city, but that city must reject him. And the avenger of blood could slay him. It was only for accidental offenders. I fall under that bracket of an accidental offender. Have you ever tried to remember your first memories? Now, I'm going to make a statement that's going to date me and tell you about how old I am, because these people sitting right over here don't know what a sand bed is. How many in this room knows what a sand bed is? My first memory was sitting in a sand bed in Bela, Louisiana, digging in the dirt, playing as a little bitty young'un. Now, before that, I don't know how I got there. I don't know where I came from. That's my first memory. Probably if I had a choice, I would have not chosen to be born, raised up sitting in a sand bed in a place called Bela. I mean, that was even before that was a hip place to be. That was when the poor folks live there, all right? I mean, the poorest of the poor live there. That's me. I just showed up there. But you know, we all just showed up here. I didn't do anything to cause Adam to sin. But he sinned, and when he did, death passed on me. So in that respect, I am an accidental offender. I didn't willfully transgress. Did you? No, you don't have to willfully transgress to become a sinner. Is that clear? Y'all understand that you are born a sinner. You don't have to do anything to be one. In fact, because you are one, you will commit sin. That's just a fact. So there's something that must be done for you and for me that we could not do ourselves. There must be a haven of rest. There must be a place of safety for an accidental offender. And that place of safety is not a city, three of them on one side of Jordan and three on another. It only points to the one where the safety and refuge and haven is, which is Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. Are you outside that city tonight? If you're outside of that city, I want to tell you something. Every breath you breathe, your soul is in jeopardy. And if the avenger of blood overtakes you outside that city, let me phrase it a different way. If God's sovereign hand uncovers you, and Satan were to have his way with you tonight, you would be cast into hell. He did not take upon himself the form of an angel. He could have redeemed angels if he wanted to. Best I can understand, a sovereign, almighty, all-powerful God can do what he wants to do. And if he wanted to redeem the fallen angels, he could have. But he did not do that because they sinned willfully. But he did make a supreme sacrifice on Calvary, and we may flee to him because we are part of Adam's fallen race. And the only way to be saved, friend, is to get out of Adam and to get in Christ. And I might as well go ahead and unpack it for you. There's no will of man can do that. There's no works of man can do that. There's no presumption of man will accomplish that. Only God in his grace can do it. And I'll stand here and tell you that unless the Holy Ghost has brought you to Jesus Christ, you're outside the city of refuge. So it's accessible. It's for accidental offenders. Number two, it's available. I wonder why six it is. Well, strategically placed. I wonder why on both sides of Jordan. Three on one side, three on the other side. Well, the Jordan River was a treacherous river. Sometimes it'd get out of its banks. Sometimes you may cross it, but sometimes you may not cross it. And if they'd only put three cities of refuge and they'd been on the wilderness side, or they'd put three cities on the Jerusalem side, the Canaan side of it, then someone would be cut off. You slay a man on this side and you need to get to the other side, but you can't get to the other side. You'd be cut off from the city of refuge. But friend, I want you to understand, three is on each side and it is available to all. Can I tell you this? If God moves upon your heart tonight, he'll save your soul tonight. It's available. They could come. You're not cut off. Friend, if God the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, it's not to cut you off, it's to save your soul. It's available to all. It's three on each side of the Jordan River. Not only is it three on each side of the Jordan River, and it is available to all, I want to tell you something, it is accessible to all. Now notice, when the Avenger of Blood was after that man that accidentally slay someone, he was not to tarry. He was to hasten. Because if he is caught and overtaken outside the city of refuge, I want you to understand, he would go through judgment. The Avenger of Blood had every right to execute vengeance upon him. Please hear me, everyone. Outside of Jesus Christ, you will go through judgment. I mean, the gospel is plain right here. And over and over and over, Moses, three places, one in Numbers, two in Deuteronomy, he said that the accidental slayer must flee. You know what that word means? That means it's urgent. It's urgent. I wonder, do we understand how wonderful the promises of heaven really is? And how horrible the threats of hell really are. Have we really thought about that? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I am a person that's constricted to time. After I've been born in this little place called Bela, in this little sand bed, in that little sand bed community, I've always been aware of time. But you know, my Bible says that there's coming a day that time will be no more. I don't understand that. I don't understand eternity past. I don't understand eternity future. I know that God was there and He will always be there. But I'm going to tell you something. Because there is an eternal God, we are subject to an eternal judgment. Not a temporal thing. That's the reason we need to flee. That's the reason we need to hasten. I will tell you tonight, if you realize through the preaching of the Word of God and the illumination of the Holy Spirit that you are outside of Christ, you don't need to think about it. You can procrastinate yourself to hell. A little of my own testimony. When I was about 11 or 12 years old, I went to a vacation Bible school. A little boy. I got under conviction. I think that's what it was. I was a young kid. The Lord dealt with my heart. I know that. Then, because of circumstances, the night that I was supposed to have been baptized, I was about 500 miles away. Long story, I won't go there. Now listen to me. I felt God's convicting hand at 11 or 12 years old. I didn't deserve that. He didn't have to do that. By His grace, He did it out of love. But I did not get saved. From 13 to almost age 30, I was an absolute hellion. Me. And I felt not one particle of conviction. Nothing. You tell me I'm going to hell, I'd laugh and say, I'll see you when we get there. You'd invite me to church, you know what I would tell you? What I want to go to church for? I saw the same crowd at the bar last night. And the sad fact was that was the case sometime. I felt nothing. If you ever walk by a bush and you heard the crickets and the katydids and the frogs and all that, and you finally heard it, and you wonder, well, when did that start? Well, it's probably been going on all the time. You just had ears to hear it that night. Do you know it's possible to walk around in a world made by God, sustained by God, with no comprehension of God? That was me. And then one night at almost 30 years old, I'll be straight up honest with you, my wife badgered me into going to church. And my words were, I'm going to go this one time, shut up, I don't intend to go back. And I didn't. But God got a hold of me, and I'm glad. Amen. Now listen to me. He didn't owe me that the first time when I was 11 or 12 years old. And He sure didn't owe that to me the last time. And if I'd have put Him off, I have no promise that it had ever happened again. And I want to tell you something. If He's dealing with your heart, you don't need to put it off. You need to come to the city of refuge, which is Jesus Christ, because it's available. And number three, it's accessible. You can come. Not only that, but that city was absolutely necessary. If you read this law, you study these scriptures, you'll find out that you could be in the city of refuge, but if you came out of that city, you then could be slain by the avenger of blood. You had to stay there. You had to stay there in that city. It is absolutely necessary. Do you know that the Bible is quite plain here? It said that there's no other name given among men below heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. I will say to you, He is absolutely necessary. There is only one door to the sheepfold. It's Jesus. There is only one shepherd, good shepherd. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. You either have Him or you don't have Him. You're either in the refuge, you're out of the refuge. And I got this to say to you. The Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I had a man ask me the other day, don't you believe that you could leave Christ? Don't you believe that you could jump out of the hollow of His hand? And my question was, who would want to? I've got the promise that nothing can take me out of His hand. Don't you have that promise? I've got the promise that Satan can't take me out of the Father's hand. I've got the promise that I'll never be severed from Him. And he said, well, couldn't you jump out? And I asked the question, who would want to leave the one who gave His life blood for them? Who would want to leave the blessing of God? Who would want to leave the presence of God? Who would want to leave fellowship with God for the temporal foolishness of this world? Folks, when you've tasted of Jesus Christ, the only thing you're going to want is more about Jesus. Would I know? Amen. More of His mercy, more of His love, and more of His grace. Friend, I don't want to leave Him. I don't want to deny Him. Oh, I have in my works. Amen. But it grieved my heart. But I want Jesus Christ. He has not forsaken me. And when I did get out of the way, when I did drift, as a child, He convicted me back. Thank God for Jesus. Who would leave one who has suffered for our salvation? He is absolutely necessary. Where are we at? That city is for the accidental offender. That city is available. It is on both sides of Jordan. That city is accessible. Flee to it. And it's absolutely necessary. Be sure you are in Christ. Don't quit praying till you pray through. I got to say it. I think this little thing called decisional generation or decisional regeneration has killed the church. I want to say this to you with all love but all candor. It is not your decision that counts. You decide, your decision is based upon what He has done. And if God's not dealing with you and God's not moving on you, you can decide to join a church, but that's not salvation. You can decide to go in to get your head wet. That's not salvation. You can decide to come sit on a pew. That's not salvation. But folks, when God draws you through the Spirit to Jesus Christ and you come to Christ, that's a decision based upon what He has done, based upon Calvary, and that'll save your soul and it'll make a difference in the way you live. Amen. I thank God for His decision. Yeah, I came to Him, but I came on His terms. You've heard the old preachers talk about the gospel terms. You've just heard it. And here's the beautiful part. Not only is he absolutely necessary, but I can stay there until the death of the high priest. Glory! I couldn't help it. Now, that high priest in that day would die. He was a man. He was a mortal man. His days were numbered. He would die. But I want to tell you something. I got a different high priest. I got a better high priest. In fact, I've got a better covenant with better promises based upon what my high priest has done. And I am secure because of the death of my high priest and the burial of my high priest and of the resurrection of my high priest. And my high priest and your high priest is never going to die. He is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to announce to you, I want to announce to this world, and I surely want to announce to Satan and his imps that I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Because he ever liveth to maketh intercession for the saints. I thank God that my high priest is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And all the devil has to do to get my soul is to dethrone him and put it in Bela language, that ain't going to happen. Y'all won't see all this in the New Testament. I say, do you want to see it in the New Testament? Go to the book of Hebrews. 6th chapter. It's all over the book of Hebrews, but we'll just use the 6th chapter. There's two books you need to spend a lot of time in. One of them is Romans and the other is Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 16 through 20. And I'm just going to go down here verse by verse and just share a little bit on each one of them, if there is a way to just share a little bit on these. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. I got a question. Who does God confirm an oath? I mean, we might say, and we shouldn't do this, but we might say, I swear by my mother's grave, or I swear by Abraham Lincoln, or I swear by... It'd have to be somebody in that era before you could swear by. Lord, help me not to get off in politics. But the sense is that you swear by the greater. But who does God swear by? Because there is no greater. He swears by himself. Listen, folks. I am in Jesus Christ, and his counsel is immutable. That means it will not stay, it will not change. We're saved with an unchangeable redemption. And not only that, God has sworn by himself because it is none higher, and he has sealed it in the blood of his Son. What more do you want? Flee to Christ. Now let's read on. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, there it is, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Listen, folks, Melchizedek is an eternal priest. It's speaking of Jesus Christ. He has entered within the veil, and my hope is built on what? Nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I want to say to you young people here tonight, if God's dealing with your heart, you can flee to Christ. It doesn't matter what kind of profession you've made in some kind of Bible school or whatnot, if the Holy Ghost hadn't been in it, you are yet lost. I'm going to go over here and pick on them, because the same works for adults too. These adults that's been brought in thinking they decided on something and God's not nowhere in it. Listen, folk, you need to flee to Christ. Amen. You need to come to Christ. The hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Listen, folks, an unchangeable God has swore by His Son that if you will flee to Him, you will have eternal life. And that hope starts in this world, and that hope is going to carry us beyond the veil and an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, He is available. He is accessible. Amen. He is absolutely necessary, and you can abide in Him for an eternity. Thank God for my refuge, which is Jesus Christ. The question is, do you need to flee? Do you need to flee to Him and not shake a preacher's hand? You need to flee to Him and not join up and get your name on a membership roll. Oh, that's all right. But let me tell you something. You need to flee to Him, and you need to fall on your face and cry out for mercy. 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 And according to the Word of God and by His grace, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Stand with me, please.